Mary Peters says, don't let this happen again. The FAA says it isn't finished with American Airlines. And airlines will finally have to start reporting the durations of tarmac strandings. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 19th, 2008. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters made lots of news on Friday. She said that airlines, aircraft manufacturers, and the federal government should review procedures to avoid massive, abrupt flight cancellations like those that left hundreds of thousands of passengers stranded in April. Many industry observers felt the sudden grounding of American Airlines' entire MD-80 fleet was a knee-jerk reaction by the FAA to congressional criticism of a too-cozy relationship between the FAA and Southwest Airlines. About 3,300 American flights were canceled with little or no notice to passengers when Americans said the FAA suddenly reversed previous policy on compliance with airworthiness directives. Peters said the FAA and the airlines need to review and improve procedures for understanding the process, timing, and criteria for requesting and approving alternate means for compliance. The secretary also called on airlines and the FAA to review existing protocols for communications to make sure that significant safety decisions are made using a clearly documented process. The FAA isn't through yet with American Airlines. FAA spokesman Les Doerr said last week, the agency will meet soon with the airline to investigate complaints from a JFK-based mechanic that American's revised inspection procedures for aircraft struck by lightning may be inadequate. Two American Airlines pilots have also raised concerns through the anonymous Aviation Safety Action Program. The Associated Press reports an American spokesman declined to elaborate on changes made to the lightning inspection process. Doerr stressed the meeting shouldn't be termed an investigation per se, adding, quote, there is no hint of any kind of enforcement action, unquote, imminent against American for the change. American officials might be excused for remaining uncomfortable with those assurances. In their respective reports to Transportation Secretary Mary Peters on the April fiasco, the FAA denied Americans' claim it had FAA permission to keep its planes flying. The two sides also disagree on who grounded the planes. The FAA says it was Americans' decision. The airline says FAA told the airline, quote, you need to put those aircraft on the ground, unquote. In addition to her comments on communications between the FAA and the airlines, Secretary Peters announced a new federal rule that will require airlines to provide complete on-time and tarmac delay data about any flight that departs a gate more than once, is canceled after leaving the gate, or is diverted to another airport. Kate Hanai, who formed the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights after American Airlines' infamous diversion strandings of December 2006, has been doing an end run around the missing DOT data by collecting reports from stranded passengers calling into a toll-free hotline. She welcomed the DOT announcement, calling it, quote, a small but important victory for airline travelers, and we can take credit for this victory, unquote. She also repeated her call for Senate action on an FAA reauthorization bill, which includes a full passenger's bill of rights. Secretary Peters also announced on Friday three new measures addressing delays at the major New York area airports. She says DOT has posted the final order to temporarily cap scheduled flights at Newark Liberty Airport at an average of 83 per hour from June 1st until October 2009. She noted that while the measure will spread flight schedules more evenly through the day, it still allows 30 operations per day more than what was offered at the airport last summer. Peters also said DOT will spend $2 million to study ways to add transit connections to New York's Stewart Airport. That's about 90 miles north of Manhattan. She observed that the airport has the runways and other facilities to ease pressure at the region's major airports, if only passengers could get there more conveniently. And finally, Peters announced DOT has opened a 60-day comment window on a plan for landing slots at JFK and Newark Liberty. The department proposes giving airlines already serving the airports up to 20 slots per day and auctioning the rest over 10 years. After the decade of protection for existing airline investments ended, presumably DOT would broaden that auction. Peters said the airlines, quote, would receive a 10-year interest in some of the world's most valuable aviation assets, free of charge, free of question, and free of hassle, unquote. She added that other airlines would get a chance to compete in an attractive aviation market, but to do so, they would have to make investments that benefit every existing carrier. I'm guessing we'll hear any time now from the Air Transport Association. Up next on ANN, NTSB issues a preliminary report on the crash that killed Barry Maggard. The Teamsters are unamused by golden parachutes for Frontier executives. And a proposed 1,000-foot skyscraper gets a response from the FAA. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 19, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The National Transportation Safety Board has issued a preliminary report on its investigation into the May 8th crash of a Cessna 182 near Black Hawk, Colorado. That crash claimed the life of pilot Barry Maggard, the older brother of PGA golfer Jeff Maggard. Early reports had suggested the accident occurred in clear weather, but the board now says the plane entered clouds and light snow at 16,000 feet after passing over Eagle County Airport, encountered what the pilot termed a mixture problem with the engine, then continued descending until he hit a mountain at 10,400 feet. The crash killed Maggard and seriously injured his passenger. You'll find the complete text of the NTSB's preliminary report in the print version of this story at aero-news.net. A full probable cause report from the NTSB is likely about a year away. Last week, Frontier Airlines announced it would cut employee pay by 10% as it struggles through Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The airline said it's only temporary and that workers will see their pay restored in October. But the Denver Business Journal reports Frontier has also worked to renegotiate pay agreements with both union and non-union employees, looking for permanent reductions in labor costs. That's allowed under the rules of Chapter 11. The Teamsters even seemed cooperative. Then, last Tuesday, things changed. Matthew Fizakis, president of Teamsters Local 961, relates, quote, "We negotiated in good faith with Frontier management, even though they already have the lowest labor costs of all low-cost carriers. We met every savings demand they made. Now we learn they had a secret plan to give themselves golden parachutes while workers get nothing. Golden parachutes for management are a deal-breaker," unquote. The union says top execs would get 6 months' pay if Frontier goes under, but workers would receive little to nothing. Fizakis notes, quote, "They want us to have confidence in their plan to emerge from bankruptcy, but obviously they have no confidence in it themselves," unquote. Frontier spokesman Steve Snyder pointed out those executives have already taken a 20% pay cut of their own in hopes of making the airline more attractive to outside investors. Most of Frontier's workforce is non-union. Pilots, mechanics, aircraft cleaners, and dispatchers are Frontier's only unionized employees, according to the airline, with the Teamsters representing about 425 workers out of a total of 6,140. Boston Mayor Thomas Menino has a vision for a new environmentally friendly skyscraper that will tower above anything else in the Boston skyline, even the 790-foot John Hancock Building. Steve Belkin of Transnational Properties caught the vision and agreed to build it. Architect Renzo Piano designed a 75-story, 1,000-foot-tall building, which has everybody excited. Everybody except the FAA, that is. The Boston Globe reports the FAA fears the new tower could be dangerous to aircraft using Logan International Airport, especially airliners making aborted landings which take them low over the city. Transnational Properties says it will try to find a design the FAA will approve. Quote, "In the meantime, we're continuing with our plans to fulfill the mayor's vision to build an iconic tower, which will be the most sustainable green skyscraper in Boston," unquote. Mayor Menino adds, quote, "Whatever height he gets, let's do it. Let's build the most significant building in Boston," unquote. FAA approval might not be the proposed building's only stumbling block. In the 2 years since the building was proposed, economic conditions have toughened, and the Globe reports Belkin has little real-world experience in commercial real estate. U.S. Representative Todd Tehart has represented the 4th District of Kansas in Congress since 1995. He's slamming the decision by the U.S. Air Force to award a contract for the next generation aerial refueling tanker to Northrop Grumman and Eads. His position is popular with Boeing employees and U.S. unions, but is being characterized as a misinformation campaign by Airbus officials. 6 years ago, Tehart, who's a Republican, praised a decision by Airbus America to open an engineering office in Wichita. Now, 200 Airbus employees who work there are taking exception to his anti-Airbus tirades. In a recent speech before a crowd of Boeing supporters, Tehart made reference to Eads' recent attempt to sell military helicopters in Iran and allegations of insider trading and illegal government subsidies, in arguing that the bid from Northrop Grumman and Eads should have been disallowed in the first place. Airbus America chairman Alan McArdle told the Wichita Eagle that Tehart has, quote, gone beyond a chance of misinterpretation or misunderstanding of the Air Force selection process, unquote, and is engaging in a, quote, intentional misinformation campaign, unquote. Specifically, Tehart says the KC-45A tanker was chosen through a flawed process, can operate from fewer bases, is less survivable, and less fuel efficient than Boeing's smaller plane, which would be based on the 767 airliner. McArdle, though, notes that the selection process drew compliments from Boeing until Boeing lost and called Tehart's other assertions, quote, patently wrong, unquote. On his tanker blog, Tehart asserts, quote, an American tanker should be built by an American company with American workers, unquote. McArdle responds, quote, I don't find Alabamans any less American than Kansans, unquote. Tehart's bio lists no military experience, but before he ran for Congress, he did spend 14 years as a Boeing employee. Still ahead, Diamond tells DA40 owners it's ready to retrofit Garmin's new toys. Randall Fishman's new Electroflyer has a canopy and everything. And a crime common during the 1970s oil crisis makes a comeback. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
Back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, May 19, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Diamond Aircraft announced on Friday it's ready to offer owners of G1000-equipped Diamond DA-40s upgrades including electronic charts, WAS capability, and synthetic vision technology. Heike Larson, Diamond's VP of Sales and Marketing, says the focus is on safety and resale value. Quote, we are pleased that not only were we the first to offer Garmin's SVT certified on a new aircraft, but that we are also the first to make this major safety-enhancing technology available to our DA-40 installed base, unquote. Owners will receive a detailed letter explaining upgrade functionality, process, and pricing over the next week. Kits will be available to ship by June 1st and can be ordered by any Diamond Authorized Service Center. At Air Venture last year, Randall Fishman took home coveted Grand Champion Lindy and Ultralight Innovation Awards for his rechargeable, battery-powered Ultralight. A stack of rechargeable lithium batteries, a hand-wound motor, and clever packaging powered Randall around the patch at Oshkosh to earn Small Aviation's most prestigious prize for technical elegance. At Sebring in January, Fishman showed up with a more practical aircraft. He adapted his motor and battery package to fit into a 1980s vintage Moni motor glider. Last Wednesday, veteran glider instructor Joe Bennis was at the controls for that plane's maiden flight. Fishman says the only odd thing about the first flight was the quiet. A purring sound emanated from the propeller, but the plane's old two-stroke noise was gone. Fishman says the plane climbed out smartly and flew without any surprises. The battery and motor combination reportedly can generate 60% more thrust than the engine they replace, do not directly create any pollution, and weight and balance were unchanged in the conversion. Fishman says the plane will fly for an hour on a charge. Being a glider, total endurance is limited only by how long you can keep finding lift once you're up there. On the way back down from an afternoon of soaring, the windmilling propeller can give you a head start on charging the batteries for tomorrow. Fishman also notes that motor performance will be unaffected by density altitude, and also unaffected by high gasoline prices. With the 60th anniversary of the Berlin airlift just over a month away, Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn paid tribute to the event's historic significance on Saturday in remarks at the opening ceremonies of the Joint Service Open House at Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. Quote, "It displayed a U.S. dedication to a stable and prosperous rule of law and international system. It demonstrated truly the ingenuity of America's military to create sovereign options in response to a changing national security environment," unquote. Officially named Operation Vittles, but better known as the Berlin Airlift, the operation saw the U.S. and its allies deliver more than 2.3 million tons of food, fuel, and other supplies to residents of the German capital in defiance of an attempted Soviet blockade. Klaus Schariath, Germany's ambassador to the U.S., called the airlift, quote, "one of the greatest humanitarian efforts of all times. I stand in awe of what these Americans did for my country," unquote. Schariath said the efforts and results of the airlift should inspire future generations as they deal with the new challenges of international terrorism, the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, ensuring energy security, and preserving the planet. Quote, "The men and women of the airlift left us with a legacy of friendship. They tell us our friendship is based on shared fundamental interest and values. We will face the challenges of the future together," unquote. And finally, with oil prices at historic levels, the theft of fuel from cars and trucks is back in the news. But one contract worker for Northeast Air set his sights much higher. He was arrested at Portland International Jetport in Maine after airport security workers say they caught him siphoning Jet A from a JetBlue Airbus A320 into a 5-gallon gas can on May 12th. The Portland Press-Herald reports the man is accused of stealing on at least two separate occasions and is thought to have taken about 25 gallons total. The man claimed he was burning it for heat. The theft itself is only a misdemeanor, but JetBlue says a fuel cap on the plane was damaged, delaying a flight and costing the airline $3,000 in added costs. As a result, the man faces additional charges. The guy's going to lose his job, and he's probably pumped the most expensive 25 gallons of Jet A ever. But believe it or not, it could be worse. Another guy recently tried to siphon gasoline from a motorhome at an RV campground in Oregon, and in the dark of night, sucked down the end of a hose he'd put in the wrong tank. You know, some crimes produce consequences far more satisfying than anything the courts would hand out. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today in my weekly chat with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, Bob explains why, if you got your instrument rating in Arizona, you're probably not ready to actually fly in clouds. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.